In just a few seconds, I'm going out to lunch with the first female sports director for television in the United States, and she's from Iowa. Heidi Soliday was the sports voice for years on the CBS affiliate in Des Moines, and has she got the stories? But before we go there, we've got to do quick bites. Three questions each of our Out to Lunch guests get. Book, movie, and job. Time for quick bites with Heidi.
Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals. News and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Hey, welcome to the Business News Hour. We are out to lunch with Heidi Soliday, and we're going to get into who she is and what she's been doing and what she has done. You may recognize that name, and we're going to talk
only
about
legal
that.
Things. Only legal things.
Heidi Soliday, the first, as I understand it, sports director for a major TV station, and that happened to be in Des Moines. Heidi, welcome to the Business News Hour.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
And here we are at the Range Grill and Golf,
which looks fantastic, very fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm not necessarily a golf person. I like to watch it. My husband's a golf freak, so immediately texted him about this place, let me tell you, because if it's as good as it looks as far as the food, we're in business.
We're in business, yeah. We got stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Well, Heidi, this is what we call quick bites. And before we get into the three questions, and we ask every single one of our guests the same three questions, before we do that, let's tickle everybody out there with regard to who you are and where you come from. And I know you are so in tune with sports of all kinds. I am not, but you are. This is a marriage made in heaven. So tell us about you.
I'll try to do it quickly.
Quick bites.
Because I want those bites. Well, I come from a very large family. I have 7 brothers and 5 sisters. And
wow.
I think I was just enough younger than my oldest brother so that I kind of was a tag-along with his friends. And I just played sports with them, kind of. I was a competitive swimmer, too. But I really liked competing. I liked to be better than my siblings. And since I was 4th in line,
yeah,
it kind of
yeah.
made sense. So I always had a competitive nature. And I had a mother that she was very much the type that would, if you started something, you had to finish it, which also I think contributes to competition. So I would say that's maybe how I got started in sports. I don't know why I always kind of followed it, but I always used to read Time magazine and Life magazine, the news, and part of news was sports too. So maybe that was it. But I would say that I wasn't a huge fan, like a big
all-encompassing sports
right.
junkie. So
right, and I'm
okay.
kind of a—I was kind of a tomboy, so that would be a reason too. So when I went to the University of Iowa to get a degree, which was in broadcasting and film, that's part of speech and dramatic art up there at the time. I worked at the radio station up there, and I wrote for the Daily Iowan. I wrote sports articles for the Daily Iowan, and when I was done, I was doing an internship with the Des Moines Parks and Rec Department.
Hmm.
And Pete Taylor, who was the sports director at the CBS affiliate in Des Moines, KCCI, I had started working there part-time as a news photographer. And he was a friend, before I got hired, he was a friend of the swimming coach at Roosevelt High School. That's where Pete went to high school. And that guy told me to talk to Pete because he said, there aren't any women in sports, and you know about sports, and you can do it better than the person that's on there now, not speaking of Pete. So I went in and talked to him, and that's essentially how I got a part-time job. And once you get in the door anywhere,
right.
you know
right.
that depending on what you do and what you want to do, you can make that be a full-time job down the road. So that's kind of how it evolved. And I just had an affinity for it, and I wasn't afraid of talking to people. I've always been pretty outgoing, so
there you are.
There you are.
All right. Your claim to fame, if I could say that, is that you were the first female sports director. Is that accurate for television? Is it?
Claim to fame would be maybe a little bit broad of a concept, but when I was named the sports director, I was the first female sports director in television in the United States. And I don't really think there's been a whole lot since. I don't think there's probably that many sports directors in radio. And there's probably not that many sports directors or heads of sports departments network-wise or anywhere. I mean, I don't know. But it's a constant topic of women getting in different positions. What that really means, I don't know. It's just something different. But to me, it was a natural thing because once Pete left, I had been there the longest and had done everything.
Ching, ching.
Yeah, so there you go.
There's your gig.
Yep.
All right, we're going to get into Quick Bites now.
Okay.
Because we ask every one of our guests when we go out to lunch the same three questions. Book, movie, job. So books that you have read recently, ever, what stands out for you?
That's a really difficult question to ask. I go through spurts of reading a lot, but I'll have to say one of the first things I thought of was I tend to like biographies or historical type books. And so I think perhaps I would say I really enjoy reading Eric Larson books. He's written several that have been based on their novels. They're called historical novels. They're based on true things, and he kind of pairs two things happening at the same time that crisscross in history. But as I'm talking, I'm spacing off the titles of these books, but there was one about a hurricane in Galveston, Texas.
Sure, back in the 1800s,
right,
maybe?
And he did The Devil in the White City, and that was about the Chicago World's Fair, and it was paired with the story of this medical doctor who had been basically sort of like a serial killer at the time. He preyed on prostitutes that or young women that were getting jobs at the fair or getting work because of all the people coming to the fair.
An American Jack the Ripper kind of a story. It's
kind of. And he,
wow.
And he paired those two historical things together. There was another one about a professor at the University of Chicago who, by accident almost, he was the accidental ambassador to Germany after World War I, and he became the ambassador right during the time that Hitler was coming into power. So it kind of talked about that, and his daughter happened to be sort of she was kind of a loose woman, so she was somewhat controversial.
Whoa.
Because while they were in Germany, she tended to have a lot of interesting
friends.
Yes.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So Eric Larson books are good for me. They tend to they fit my mood of I like history over like fanciful things.
All right, so we got the book down. Movies.
Okay, I'm a movie freak. Totally a movie freak. I watch all kinds of movies, and that's. I tried to do this thing on Facebook this year where you're supposed to pick 10 movies that made an impact in your life.
Yeah.
And I think I got the list down to about 200. So I'll just say that just because I've watched a few lately that I really enjoy documentaries. And one that I saw that was very riveting, even though you knew the outcome, you still were on your seat and just agonizing watching this. And that was called Free Solo, about the free solo climb of El Capitan by Alex Honnold. And it won the Academy Award for Best Documentary this past spring. So I would highly recommend that. Or if you're into those types of climbing movies, there's one that's just out now on Netflix called The Dawn Wall. And there is another one that was made by the same filmmaker that did Free Solo, and that's called Meru, M-E-R-U. They're all available on Netflix. And except for maybe Dawn Wall isn't. No, Dawn Wall is because that's how I saw it. But they're really good, and they're more than just climbing. I mean, that's in there too. But it's about determination and the effects of people's lives on what they choose to do. That sort of thing.
Interesting. All right, so we've got books. We got Eric Larson.
Yes.
All right, we got these movies about climbing, which is very interesting. You and I had an extended conversation about that prior to going on the air, which I think is fascinating, by the way, and the life history. But good stuff to check out. And the director for two of those?
Jimmy Chin, with his wife. He lives in Jackson, Wyoming. Other people involved too, but those would be that would be the name I'd look for.
A great place to live in Jackson.
Yeah. My sister lives there.
It's a very nice place.
Yeah.
All right, finally, we ask about job. Now, you spent your time in the news business, in sports.
Mm-hmm.
If you hadn't done that, what would you have been doing?
flat out, if I hadn't done that, I'd be a film director. That was one of the things that was most enjoyable about my job, was the ability to create, like, I would say, little movies. When you did your stories,
right.
Many times at the start of when I was working, I shot my own video, and so I would have to edit it too. Well, if you're a reporter, sports reporter, you're writing your story. No one's writing it for you. You may run it by somebody to edit it, so to speak, but you write your own, then you have to edit it. And a lot of times the photographers do that, but anymore with the way television stations are getting pared down
right.
to skeletal
one
crews.
One-man band, yep. so to speak.
That's how it was when I started. I was a one-man band
because
all the time.
Because it was in sports?
No, possibly because there just wasn't a whole lot of money.
Oh.
Possibly because they didn't – the staff for a sports department is usually the smallest one at a television station. A lot of times the main sports guy does everything. And then you might get photographers to help shoot, things like that, especially for the really big events. But in general, many, many, many sports reporters and news reporters now, too, because you can shoot a story on your phone. You
sure.
Know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's heck of a lot easier. When I first started, you carried a tape deck on one side. Those were gigantic. You had a battery belt around your middle that probably weighed about 20 pounds. And then you were carrying a gigantic video camera. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Were you shooting tape at the time?
When I first started, I shot film.
Yeah.
You had to get the film back by, I don't know, 9:30, the high school football games, because you had to edit them really, really fast, and then, but when you brought the film back, it had to be developed.
Right.
It took a while to be developed, and then it had to dry.
I remember.
So, I mean, it was, and then tape, and then, you know, I wasn't really in on this very end with the digital stuff, some digital, but.
Now, so, a film director.
Yep.
Because, for obvious reasons, you know, you have
love
that.
Love filmmaking, like to do stories. I think it'd be really fun to travel all over. Of course, now, too, I could see being taking groups all over the world on little trips, maybe with biking involved or something like that. That would be fun.
Heidi
Salovey,
Quick Bites, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the book, we have got the movie, and we have got her future job, perhaps. A film director. How fun that would be.
AAA.
Right. We're going to get into Out to Lunch here next. And what this does is we expand on all of the things we've just talked about and spend some time over lunch talking about the business of television news, some of her experiences, what she's doing now in the world of cycling, which is really incredible. All of that yet to come. Here on the Business News Hour, we go out to lunch at the Range Grill and Golf.